Actually, this is our last week of our series, 40 Days of Prayer. In this series, we've been talking about how prayer is not the end goal, but it's just a tool. And we, for all this series, we talked about the main idea. And this is the main idea for the last time. So if you haven't written it down, take out your outline and write it down. This is the first feeling. We pray so that we can be connected to God and to his power, Prayer is so that we can connect to God. And when we connect to God, then we can receive the power. And to be honest with you, this was a hard message, because I don't know if you guys know this, but before I can give the message, I need to receive it. So if I'm getting to the word and reading it and nothing's like, God, what are you trying to tell me? Because I need to pass it along. And I wasn't, but finally God said, hey, this is what I want you to take away from it, and this is what I want you to share. So by the end of this talk, I hope that you guys will clearly see some ways that God develops us through prayer, how our prayer life can be impacted. And we're going to get a chance to know a little bit about God's will, all right? So each week of this series, we've been dissecting a prayer that the Apostle Paul wrote, and this won't be the exception. So Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. In your outlines, it's a little bit longer. I shortened it because this is last week's verse also. But follow me in the screens. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the what?
Spirit.
The spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that, remember that Paul says he prays for something, but for something. So that you may know him better. Know who better? God. We need to know God better, all right? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Do you know that you're called for something big, something bigger than your own life? You know that? Okay. And the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, all right? So if you have said yes to Jesus or to a relationship with Jesus, then God is always working or going to be working on our behalf, and he's going to be constantly developing our faith, constantly developing our prayers, constantly developing our characters. He's going to be constantly working in us. I'm not the same guy who I was 5 years ago, but I know that I'm not there yet. I know that my wife's not here yet. Okay. She will tell you, buddy, there's still a long way to go. Okay? So I haven't finished it. Paul says, I haven't finished the race. We won't finish it until we're called to be with him. So, but right now, you are living, and when we have a personal relationship with Christ, then it's not just me. It's not just you. I mean, you're still you, but there's something new inside of you. There's his Holy Spirit. And through him, he gives us the strength, because by our own strength, we try to do stuff. And maybe we can accomplish it for a little while, but for the long run, we keep stumbling. But the Bible says, hey, when you receive his Holy Spirit, he's there with you. It's not your strength now. Oh, no, buddy. It's a new strength. The creator of the universe is inside of you. And this is not so you can boast and, woman, get me my lunch. Nah, the master of the universe. No, it's not for that. It's for dealing with our hurts, hiccups, and hang-ups. And the scripture is pretty clear that in our prayer life, the way we live is a part of this developing process. So today, we're going to talk about three things. It's an easy message. Three things that impact and develop your prayer life. All right? So we're going to start. And the most obvious one. So number one, your notes. The way we live. That's the first one. That's the first thing that impacts and develops our prayer life. The way we live. So let's jump right in to James 5:16. And it says, therefore, what did it say there? Okay, everyone. Confess your sins to each other and what? Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The problem here, we focus on the end part of the verse. And we can say, oh, I'm not a righteous person. Not yet. Maybe. I mean, I'm walking towards that, but I'm not like the guy that I should supposed to be. And we miss the first part. And the first part is saying, hey, to have a powerful prayer is not about being perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be all clean and have the right words and all the hand gestures. I was going to make one, but I'm maturing. Hey, if you can believe it. And the verse clearly says that there's two things that we need to do. The first one was what? Confess. Share it with someone. Share that with a friend, with a mentor. Don't grab the megaphone and start like, hey, I'm an adulterer. No. Everyone should have a swimming buddy, a person who's, I don't want to say above us, but who's walking the walk and talking the talk, who can tell us, hey, buddy, who can guide us, who can talk to us from the Bible and say, hey, you need to get this right. You need to, okay, I'm glad that you confess. Let's pray, the second part. Remember, confess, and then pray for one another. I love this. Check out what Mark quotes Jesus saying in Mark 11:24-25. It says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold what? Something? Anything. If you hold anything against anyone, not against your mentor, not against your spouse, anyone, the guy in Oxford who didn't give you a stinky eye, anyone, forgive him so that what? Your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Are we living like that? Is our life reflecting this verse? If we're being honest, you all know the Our Father prayer, right? Forgive us our trespasses as we... Can you imagine if God were like... There's two scenarios, right? Either we forgive them, and God is like, yeah, then I forgive you. Or imagine if we didn't forgive him, forgive the people, whoever wronged us or whatever, cut us in line or, I don't know, or broke our hearts or played with our emotions or stole from us or whatever. God could say, hey, in order for me to forgive you, you need to forgive that person. Imagine if we died and we're at the line, the pearly gates, and God says, like, did you forgive so-and-so? And you're like, oh, crap. No, like, sorry. That's my way of seeing that. But no, God is wise and merciful, and thank you for not. The thing is, even if we don't hold our end of the bargain, God still is faithful to us. So amen to that. And we need to be living. If we want to change our prayer life, if we want to impact our prayer life, if we want to grow, mature, we need to live like we are praying, or we need to pray like we are living. So this is a good question to ask ourselves. Is the way I am living impacting my prayer life positively? Is the way that I'm living impacting my prayer life in a positive way or in a negative way? Could both ways. Another way we we develop, that our prayer life is impacted and developed, is through our faith. Through our faith. And we're going to continue reading with James 1, 6 through 7. It says, "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, that that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord." I was like, oh, okay. Is our faith reflected in our prayers? Is your faith, can someone tell how faithful or how much faith you have by the way he hears you pray? A lot of time as Christians, we like to tell God what he can and cannot do. Like, no, God, I think like as humans, but as Christians also. And we tend to tell, no, God, this is too big for you. I cannot pray for that. Or it's like the last remedy, like everything is lost. So I was going to say, we're going to throw a Hail Mary. Right? we don't have anything more to do. Let's pray. Let's see if something happens. And we don't really believe it. The faith that we supposedly have, we don't apply it. And we become our first stumbling block. I love the verse that talks about two blind men that run up to Jesus and told him, "Hey, please have mercy on us. Please heal us of our blindness." And Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And they both replied, "Yes. Yes, we believe." And this is the answer of Jesus, what Jesus did. Matthew 9:29-30. He says, "Then he touched their eyes and said, according to my power, it will be done." Right? No, what did it say? According to what? According to your faith will it be done to you. And their sight was what? Restored. Restored. Are we praying like that? Are we praying, believing that he can do that miracle? That we can get our finances together, that he can restore a marriage, that he can put our kids in the right path? Are you praying to a powerful God or to a human God? How is your prayer life? We need to develop it. We need to grow. We need to. You're too quiet. And you're scaring me. I'm nervous enough, people. Don't start with your eyes. This impacted me because I'm going to be honest, I'm the first one. And the way that sometimes we're limited God is that we think our problems are bigger than him and we mess everything up. And we forget that the Bible is our Christian faith is the upside down faith. The least of them is going to be the best of them. You need to die to live. You need to serve to be important. We need to tell the problems how big our God is and not the other way around. And until we do that, we're going to be crying, "Oh, God, why are you answering me? Oh, my prayer is not as it used to be or could be." And we're missing it. And there's one more thing that it impacts and develops our prayer life, and that's number three, God's will. God's will. And this is a good one because sometimes we don't get it, we don't understand. But let's look at what John wrote in 1 John 5, 14 to 15. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God." I need you to pay attention to this. "That if we ask what? Anything according to what? To his will." If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. But what's the key phrase here? According to his will. According to his will. And there's a lot of scripture that tells us when you get your heart right with God or tuned to God's heart, everything flows. Everything flows. It's easier. You start to hurt for the things that hurt God's heart. You start to not take into consideration material things, which God tells you, "Hey, I own everything. Why do you want a new car? Your car's fine. I got you. When it's time, you get a new one. Don't cry over that one." And we miss that. We're always praying for our will to be done. Well, what I want, what JP wants, I want two kids. We're in the process of adoption. I don't know if you know that. But we have a beautiful, handsome son, thanks to his mom. And we're blessed. We're blessed because we struggle a lot for us to get pregnant. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. It's kind of weird for me to get pregnant, but it's kind of showing. No. But after 4 years, we could have a baby, JP, little JP. And after that, we got pregnant again very quick, not very quick, but like a couple of months afterwards. And we lost the baby. It was complicated, and they had to take her uterus out, my wife's uterus out. So after that, we were thinking, hey, we talked about this before. Would we be willing to adopt someone? And we said, yes. If that's God's will. So like I talked last week, we prayed about it. We read scripture. We talked to mentors. We did everything. And we thought that, okay, let's go. We've been a year in the process, a year and a couple of months. But we've seen some doors closing. And it got to a point where I said, should we be adopting? Is that God's will? I mean, honestly, I know that we can care for orphans. We don't have to adopt everyone too. But it's been a struggle for me, for us. We want to be in God's will. And it got to a point where we said, God, whatever your will, if it's to give us the opportunity to be adopted, to be parents, not adopted parents, to be parents to two kids, then we're going to be joyful and we're going to be happy and we're going to praise you. And if we don't, God, we're still going to be joyful. We're going to praise you and we're going to be happy. I know it doesn't show. I'm kind of like, but we're going to be happy. We decide to be happy because he knows what's best. At the end of the day, he knows what's best. I'm 100% sure that he has called me into ministry. And it's not easy to attend to everyone. It's hard, people. You're hard people to pastor. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Kidding. It's a joke. You're going to get to know me, so relax. But it's hard. It's time-consuming. You need to prepare. We don't want to get up here and just talk out of whatever. Oh, I feel this or I feel that. We need to prepare, and it's a lot of time. There's a lot of need, and there's a lot of things that need to be done. And that's when I got it, like, well, maybe God is telling me something, like, hey, you're going to get a lot of kids, but they're not going to be, like, physical kids, newborns. They're going to be spiritual kids. So, but whatever, if he decides to give us two beautiful kids, a boy and a girl, younger than JP, hey, you need to be specific in your prayers, right? I'm going to be glad, joyful, and I'm going to praise him. If he doesn't, I'm going to be glad, joyful, and praise him. And we need to acknowledge that. And I love it when I read this next verse, Luke 22:42 says, this is Jesus talking, Father, if you are willing, if there's any chance, if by any there's a plan B, please take this cup from me. Yet not what? My will. This is Jesus talking. This is his own son. If his own son told him, hey, not my will, but your will, but yours be done. Can you imagine if I were Jesus? I'm like, Dad, really? You need me to die? And so I'm going to be, let me get this straight. I'm going to be beaten down. I'm going to be whipped. They're going to give me a crown of thorns. They're going to put me in a cross. Then they're going to put a spear through my side. What about Peter? What about Peter? He's always like, okay. He denied you three times. He's going to deny you. What about Thomas? He's always doubting. Like, oh, is there a God? Another God? Hey, thank God I'm not Jesus, right? So, but he was saying, hey, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, but you know what? It's not what I want. It's what you want. So at the end of the day, one of the most powerful places to be in your faith and while we pray is to seek God's will and not your own. And you can put that in your freezer or fridge. Seek God's will and not my own. And what impacts our prayer life the most, and this is your last feeling, is a relationship with Jesus. What's going to impact the most your prayer life is a relationship with Jesus. You need to be discerned. You need to be aware that God wants to hear from you, that God wants to act on your behalf, that God wants to reveal himself to you, that God wants to speak to you, to each one of you. Because God has plans for your life. And I know you know it because before you said, yeah, I know, there's a plan for me. So there's a plan for your life, but you need to have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the main decision of each one of our lives, to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have that relationship with him, if you haven't taken that decision, if you haven't made that decision yet, I want to tell you, don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week. We never know what's going to happen. We need to make that decision and align our life align our hearts with the heart of God. And we need to walk our faith, we need to live our faith, and we need to hear God's will. So right now, I want you all to close your eyes, please, and I'm going to ask you guys I know if some of you have making that decision, but I also know that it's kind of embarrassing to make it aloud alone. So let's all pray together, all right? Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus, even though I am a sinner. Thank you because you hold your end of the bargain, even if I don't. Thank you for your grace and your love. Today, I decide to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I pray that that relationship will bear fruit in the next week. Help me change my life. Help me have your heart. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.